Call the meeting to order. Ask Deborah Wilkins to give our invocation.
This morning I'm going to bring you a prayer from St. Francis. I know he's the patron saint of animals and the environment, but he's also known for having created the first Christmas nativity scene. So if you'll bow your heads. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us love. Where there is injury, let us pardon. Where there is doubt, let us have faith. Where there is despair, let us have hope. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in forgiving that we are forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to introduce to our group, the board, and our guest today, our newest region. Welcome, John. Officially square you in.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Meeting adjourned.
We solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the Commonwealth, and be faithful and true to the Commonwealth people, as long as you continue a citizen thereof, and that you will faithfully execute to the best of your ability the office of member of the Board of Regents of Lexington County, Kentucky, and do you further solemnly swear that since the adoption of the present Constitution, you, being citizens of the state, have not followed duel with the deadly weapons within the state, nor out of it, nor have you sent or accepted a challenge to fight a duel with deadly weapons, nor have you acted as a sect in carrying that challenge, nor aided or assisted any person thus offering to help you die. Congratulations.
I'll go anywhere yet. I've known John for 40 years, and that he's a pretty competitive guy. And that's the dueling part. I'm not so John, one of the things that we do with our members of our Board of Regents, each new board member is sworn in, we present each new board member with a Board of Regents tent. And the only people who own those are individuals who have served on this board, and have especially crafted that dedicated ring. And I know that's something we're with great pride and distinction. For those who live, and we're honored to have you on our Board of Regents.
Now take the roll call. Secretary Denison.
Mr. Corey Dodds.
Present.
Ms. Cynthia Harris.
Present.
Mr. Freddie Higdon.
Present.
Mr. Jim Johnson.
Present.
Mr. James Kennedy.
Present.
Dr. Patricia Minter.
Present.
Mr. David Porter.
Present.
Mr. John Ridley.
Present.
Mr. Rob Wilkie. Mr. Larry Zelke.
Here. Declare that we have a quorum. You have before you your minutes of June 22, 2012. Any additions or corrections? Entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Regent Minter. Second by Regent Kennedy. Any further question? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So approved. Next turn to the academic affairs. Dr. Dennis.
I'll refer to Gordon for action items 1.1 through 1.5.
While Gordon's getting ready, let me get our academic affairs report off to a good start here. Not that it won't be all the way through. But some of you have read, well, all of you have read a lot about Claire Donahue, and we certainly celebrate her success in the Olympics. But on June 25th, word was released that Darren West, a 1989 graduate, won a Tony Award on Broadway for best sound design for the Broadway show Peter and the Starcatcher. So there's some good news to get us started in academic affairs from the College of Arts and Letters, Dean Lee. Congratulations.
Absolutely.
Hey, Gary, whatever happened to Leo Burmeister? I saw him on Broadway. Is he?
He died.
Did he die several years ago? I had no idea.
7 or 8 years ago?
Several. Maybe yeah. More than that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, but a very successful career on Broadway.
We have five new programs, minors, certificates, and so forth, all previously considered by the Academic Affairs Committee last month. Minor in American Sign Language, which builds a solid foundation of ASL language and skills for students in all majors. An undergraduate minor in literature designed to supplement majors in other areas of English, such as creative writing, professional writing, and English for secondary school teachers. An undergraduate certificate in something called CNSS 4011, that leads to a certification by the Committee on National Security Systems. It involves two undergraduate courses which already exist, and in deference to the policies of the CPE, we did consult with the Chancellor of the KCTCS system prior to presenting this for your approval, and he has endorsed that moving forward. We have a graduate certificate in literacy in post-secondary settings, designed for graduate students to provide them the instructional strategies to provide support for literacy learners. This is closely aligned with the provisions of Senate Bill 1 of 2009. And last but not least, a graduate certificate in nonprofit administration. As more and more of the economy contains nonprofit organizations, it's important that students learn things like administration of nonprofit organizations, grant writing, fundraising, fiscal administration and such organizations and so forth. So I present these five new academic credentials for your consideration.
These were discussed more extensively at the committee meetings. Can I have someone to give me...
Move to approve.
Second.
Question? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Then I'll let you go ahead and do 1.6 then.
Okay, I'd like to invite Dr. Larry Snyder, Associate Dean of Potter College, to join me. This is the request to approve the WQ Colonnade program. This has been a work going on for several years now. Provost Birch appointed a task force in 2008, I believe, to study general education at WKU with the goal of constructing not just a set of courses but a true program that would consolidate learning and provide connections between the basic skill and knowledge sets the student learn in Gen Ed. The program we have is a three-tiered program involving 18 hours of foundations courses, 12 hours of explorations courses in which these concepts are further developed, and last but by no means least, I think is a very important part, these 9 hours of connections courses. These will be courses open to students in all majors, and the hope is that they would meet students from other disciplines, share different ideas, ways of looking at things, and so forth. Total program is 39 hours, which is a decrease from the 44 hours of the current general education requirement at WKU, and that's consistent with the reduction of the degree from 128 hours to 120 hours. We're very pleased to present this program. We believe it will position us very well for accreditation by SACS. You heard Dr. Whelan yesterday, and it's very important that learning outcomes by students are assessed, and we believe this program will position us extraordinarily well for that opportunity. Larry, if you want to add anything.
I appreciate the opportunity to have worked on this with faculty for the past 4 years across the university. It's been a collaborative effort. We've had vigorous and energetic discussion about this, and this represents a lot of very hard work, a lot of goodwill, and a lot of compromise over the past 4 years. We asked folks at the very beginning to keep in mind that the ultimate goal here is design a program that would benefit our students. This was not to be about protecting turf. It was not to be about anything other than coming up with the best program, core curriculum that we thought our students deserved. And it's certainly not a perfect document, but we think it's, it moves us in the right direction. It's also a much more flexible program. We've put in place an implementation plan that will allow for changes over the years so that we don't have to come back and essentially start from scratch every 10 or 15 years on these things. And so we think it's going to be much more flexible and fluid, and ultimately we think it's going to benefit our students and our faculty. Thank you very much.
I'll let you go on and do 1.7.
Let me add one point, just to follow our discussion yesterday on transfer students. A student transferring in with an associate degree from a KCTCS institution, their gen ed course of study will count toward meeting our gen ed requirements. However, if a student transfers in that has not completed an associate degree, they would be expected to pick up this core curriculum and there will be an assessment, and some of their work will likely qualify for these requirements, but some may not, and that those decisions will be made on an individual basis, as I understand it, on a student transferring in that has not completed an associate degree. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But that whole matter of transferability is just getting a lot of attention, and Frankfort and Washington, and since we discussed that yesterday, I wanted the board to understand how this correlates with our transfer goals. Thank you.
I would just like to say on the record what I said at the committee meetings, that I want to thank Dr. Snyder for leading a four-year conversation that made this into something that will be wonderful for the intellectual life of this university, that will make the students' experience richer, and shows how excellent it is when faculty leadership takes part in the conversation, drives it, and again, you led this effort, and I'm very grateful to you for it, and I'm very grateful to all of the faculty leaders and faculty members who took part in 4 years of forums, study groups, conversation, and it's truly a collaborative effort, and it's an excellent thing.
Okay. Item 1.7 involves a consolidation of departments within the university college. We discussed this at the Academic Affairs Committee meeting. As again, referring to SACS, there's a very important distinction that must now be made between academic programs and essentially tenure-granting units or departments within the university. And with that in mind, the university college has two changes. One is to change a leadership studies program to a school of leadership studies. Again, that would be essentially a tenure home for faculty. And the other consolidation involves amalgamation of various units, including gender, women's studies, gerontology, citizenship, social responsibility, and so on, into a new department that takes the place of the old gender, women's studies one, called the Department of Diversity and Community Studies. There are no fiscal implications of this move. It's simply a relabeling of the departments or units within University College, of which there are now seven.
Does anyone have any questions or anything about that?
You might remember at the committee meetings that I had placed a contingency on this, that the memorandum of understanding needed to be completed, and it is between the various entities, and my understanding is that memorandum of understanding has been concluded. That's correct. So that removes the contingency.
Dated July 13, 2012.
Excellent. Thank you.
It exists.
Go ahead with 1.8.
Okay, 1.8, you recall, it relates to the Kentucky Museum. Two items. One is approval of the policies manual, in particular the so-called deaccession policy. As we move the museum forward toward accreditation by the American Association of Museums, it's absolutely critical that collections within the museum not be considered essentially a surplus property and dealt with as would an office chair or a desk or something. Therefore, we present these policies manuals for the board for approval. And I don't know if Dr. Catherine, you want to say anything?
For the museum.
would you like to go ahead and do 1.9?
Okay, 1.9. David. Distinguished scholar to my left is Dr. David Keeling, who I first saw on a website standing beside Castle Urquhart, home of the Loch Ness Monster. David travels quite a bit. In the last, since arriving at WKU, he's traveled over 100 countries. And I think he represents the model of what it is to be a faculty member at a leading American university with international reach. The process of nomination for a university distinguished professor is non-trivial. It involves review by committee of former and existing UDPs. Involves the obtaining of letters of recommendation from individuals within and outside the university. And I just want to quote from a couple of those recommendation letters. One of the external reviewers called David, and I'm sure he'll appreciate this, a high impact individual meant in the most positive of ways. David has mentored over 30 graduate theses, given National Academy talks or 100 groups, 36 different courses taught at WKU, and as one colleague noted, is quote-unquote a stellar example of a leader and a scholar who's recognized far beyond the boundaries of the WKU campus. It's my honor and privilege to recommend Dr. David Keeling for appointment as a University Distinguished Professor.
I'd just like to say that I've had Dr. Keeling for class, and it was an excellent experience. I have no doubt that he deserves this honor, and I'd just like to thank you for everything that you've done for this university.
Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you. How'd you do in that class?
Got an A.
Good.
and he earned it big time.
I felt like that was a low-risk question.
I certainly want to thank all of my colleagues around campus and the board and people in the community and around the world that I work with, where I carry the WKU flag to remote and interesting destinations. And it's just a great honor to represent a leading American university with international reach.
Thank you, Dave.
Great.
And item 1.10. is approval of emeritus faculty appointments. I want to draw attention to one change since the approval by the Academic Affairs Committee. That's the addition of a proposal for a dean emeritus status, Dr. Mike Bender, who was dean of the university libraries for many, many years. Dr. Bender announced his retirement on June 29th, which is after the committee meeting. And if I've taken the liberty of adding this item to the list of emeritus appointments, the rest are as previously considered at the committee meeting.
Okay. From 1.6 to 1.10, are there any of these items that anyone would like to remove for further discussion? If not, then I'll entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you. Now we'll let Gordon do the information commons at WKU.
Okay. Some time ago, last September, in fact, we invited a team of consultants to visit to study our library and our museum, in fact. And one of the recommendations they made is that we consider the creation of something which is becoming known as an information commons, an area that provides students an opportunity to study, to conduct research, to interact with other students in a productive but welcoming environment. We identified the fourth floor of Craven's area. It's the area up the sort of main ramp into the library. You enter on the fourth floor as an area to locate those commons. We have identified funds to support the necessary renovation. A team from the library, and Dean Connie Foster is here to answer any questions you may have, visited other information commons at, I believe, the University of Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky University in Indiana. And as a result, came up with this plan. This is on the floor plan. The walls are right for the existing fourth floor area of Craven's. If you've been there, you won't recognize it as that. This is a brand new look for the floor full of Craven's, which will include things like kind of discussion areas, collaboration lounges, if you like. It will include this kind of overlit, working area where students can access the internet, meet in groups and so forth, collaborative seating environments. We're installing several computers for students to use in this area. You can see the numbers 1 through about 26. Another example. And again, it's general areas where students feel welcomed in a sort of study mode. I do want to thank a few people who have helped us put this together. Neil Downing and Lee Ross Dinwiddie from the AMS Institute. The project design team, including Brian Russell, Tiffany Hayes, Alfonso Casana, and Alan Callahan. The plan is to do the construction over the holiday break, starting December-ish, kind of, and have it available not only for students to use when they come back for spring, but also, I think very importantly, for parents to visit when we're doing recruitment tours, ATPs, and so on, because I'm told a very important element when parents visit the university is, what does the library look like? And we hope this will impress them that we do view the library as an essential element of our campus. It's a place for students to gather, to study, to share ideas, and that's about it. The last slide.
Gordon, go back to that, please.
Yes?
I just want the board to understand, and you may or may not recognize that logo, but that is Architecture and Manufacturing Sciences, a department in our College of Science and Engineering, Ogden College of Science and Engineering. Neil Downing is a member of the faculty in that college, and Lee Ross Dinwiddie is a young alumnus from that department. But this is one of our entrepreneurial programs because the AMS Institute does indeed do public and private contracting for architectural services, and they have done a lot of work across the community with private business under contract and with private individuals' homes under contract. It's one of our fascinating applying the skills of an academic unit in the service in a profitable way across our region, and most people are not fully aware of what the AMS Institute can provide, and I'm delighted to see them doing work on campus for other campus units, and I would suspect probably at a less profitable in a less profitable manner than they would have done had it been the private sector. Mm-hmm. But I just, you may not have picked up on what the AMS Institute is, but it's pretty cool.
I have a, before you move on, I have one question about this slide. What is the protrusion in the middle that's numbered 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? What is that?
Additional computers.
Okay. Okay. And that's coming off of, what is that?
The elevator.
Yeah,
okay.
A wall.
Thanks. That helps me center that.
Are there any plans to use sustainable materials similar to what we did in Rangedale and then Downing University Center for this project?
We're trying to be as sustainable and energy efficient as possible with lighting and furniture and flooring.
Great.
Mm-hmm. So the next slide I did pass by Robin Taylor and the public relations folks. We do have a vision leading American University international reach, but nevertheless, we think this is very important that, WKU as an acronym, if you like. And so we like this. And if it catches on, great. But that's our branding. The information comes at WKU. Very much. Next, I'd like to invite Brian to present the enrollment report.
Thank you.
All right. Well, as you just one comment on information, Commons,
that is a significant tool, as Gordon said, for parents and families as they visit campus. And we know that how very vitally important the campus visit is to bringing students in and solidifying that relationship here at WKU. So we're looking forward to that, and that's a really positive piece that will be added to our tour campus experience when families come in. As we in the fall enrollment to report as of this morning is floating around to you, board members. We are looking a little more hopeful than we were a few weeks ago as far as our freshman enrollment. We're seeing with five or four ATPs left, still up just slightly in our freshman enrollment. Juniors and seniors are improving, which speaks to the retention efforts we talked about at length yesterday in the retreat. And I believe we'll again later today. Novitas numbers, dual credit, all those things have not, they will not come in until closer to September, end of August, just by the nature of how those processes work. So this is kind of a snapshot as of about 7 o'clock this morning.
Let me add a couple of comments. One, a very significant number, I believe, is the new freshman number, and that's got a plus sign for the first time we've seen that. That's a plus 8 on new freshmen. New first-time freshman. The high school number of minus 43, I'm sure, will change. You know, there is a dual credit number, and that kind of obeys different rules. Students don't enroll through ATPs and so forth. The number still of some concern is the continuing freshman number. These are students who enrolled as freshmen last year are still in freshman status and are returning, and that's down 122. Nevertheless, as Brian points out, the report we were looking at the last committee meeting, I believe at a minus 460 or something. Just last week it was minus 300, and now we're at minus 200. Key to note that our ATP structure has changed, largely as a result of the Downing University Center renovation. We've had to move the ATP off campus, reschedule many of the meetings. We now have a greater number of somewhat smaller ATP sessions, and so there are more students yet to go through ATP at this time this year than there were this time last year. Admits are up. Housing, Howard, is looking very healthy. You know, all indications are we'll have a very healthy class. This is very much a work in progress. We won't really know the numbers until somewhat later after students are here.
And we've received some pretty positive feedback on the sort of change in how we're doing the ATPs. Now, again, that was, you know, just logistically with facilities and such, but the parents and family, I wasn't sure how that was going to work or play out, and people are quick to let you know if they don't care for that model, and they've lots of positive feedback from Scott and Director of Admissions and ATP.
Well, right, the model. We used to meet in Downing. Mm-hmm. Right? Now we're actually meeting down at the Nicely Center. And then we take the students up.
Academic Transitions Program, which is the
transfer placement.
Orientation.
Orientation. Freshman orientation.
Registration orientation.
Like register for classes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. So a couple hundred each, and there are 18 of them over the course of the spring and summer. And what Brian and Gordon are referring to is with the Downing Center renovation, that process is a day-long process for students and parents, but it's now pretty well self-contained at the Nicely Center. So we're bringing these individuals in, and it's working well because we can do all of the various functions and group settings and split them up, parents and students, and we can do all that under one roof, which is pretty neat. Yet we aren't able to per se sell the campus, which you'd like to do, because these students, they may be registered for classes, but they're not.
Right.
They haven't started that first day of class yet, so they still have options even after they register for their classes. Now they've invested some money, and you know, most of them will be here. With the Downing Center renovation, we have limited options to do everything we need to do with this group in a thoughtful, cohesive, convenient manner. And we do bring them to campus towards the end of that ATP day in a tour capacity if they'd like to see the residence halls, whatever they'd like to see. If they have, many of them have already been on tour, but we do offer that to them. But I really think they like that smaller, more intimate sort of venue. So that may be a plus that we may will continue in the future.
Certainly less moving around on a very hot day in the summer.
Yes.
And as somebody who actually is very involved with the ATP process, I can validate everything that Dr. Meredith is stating. I cannot begin to tell you how many positive comments I have heard while working out there from both parent and student about the close proximity and just the overall fluidity of the entire process from start to finish out at the Nicely Center. So I commend the entire department for moving that out there and just the whole cohesiveness of the entire day for our incoming freshmen.
And it's still recruiting. I have to remind that folks, it's still recruiting at ATP because the families will go to more than one orientation session. I can't imagine that they do that, but they do.
Fascinating, actually.
They do go to, particularly with your higher ability students, they will go to two or three orientations shopping that process. That's an interesting phenomenon over the recent years.
Dr. Meredith, a couple of questions. So there are four more ATPs between now?
Now and school starting.
What is, and again, I have some sense of this because I've seen the scramble to accommodate students in, out of those August ATPs. If you compare last year's numbers to what's getting ready to happen, how many students do you expect to matriculate to WKU based on these last four? Last year's your guide, which I know is all we got.
Well, we're going off the RSVPs, and they're, you know, they're at least RSVPs for those four are, you know, they're a little over 100 apiece in there. So those are positive signs. Now, an RSVP is a loose commitment, but that's really all we have to go on with that particular grouping. But I don't see that you would see much differential in that August traffic. If anything, the last two will kind of file in there at the last minute for a variety of reasons. So I don't think you're going to necessarily lose numbers in those RSVPs. But again, it's a loose commitment at that point until their name is on a schedule.
Right. And I know the answer to this, but just so the board knows, when is the snapshot taken of fall so that we know what the data set looks like for fall 12?
When's census day?
Late October.
Yeah.
Five, six weeks.
It's more or less in time for our last meeting. Mm-hmm. Pretty close.
Mm-hmm. So. Within a few days of that meeting, actually, I think. Mm-hmm.
Please understand, this sounds like a pretty positive report, and in many ways it is, but I can assure you that the negative numbers in some of these columns has our attention, and it's a significant matter, and we're doing everything we can to continue our long-standing trend of, in this case, modest growth. Many years past, significant growth, but we want to keep that trend going. So we know we got our work cut out for us in the next 6 weeks.
And Dr. Mentor, you had asked a question at the last one, which we will get you more information at the next meeting about our regional campus enrollments and such, and particularly feeding off the transfer conversations we had yesterday.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
We'll get you that. We'll provide that to the board. Other questions?
Just to see what October brings.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Provost?
Okay. Thank you. That concludes academic. Next move.